Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Today, I want to call our attention to a text in Acts chapter 11, in verse 26. Which tells us the origin of the term Christian. We read, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Now that's a fairly well-known verse. It ought to be, whether it is or not, but I think in many cases it is, because here is the beginning of a now world-renowned name, Christian. We are told more than a billion people in this world that are labeled Christians. How many of them are actually born-again believers is another question, but more than a billion who identify themselves as Christians. That is a huge, huge number. I think there's quite a bit more than a billion by now, but we'll just go with that number for the time being. More than 1 billion people in this world who call themselves Christians, and we can trace the beginning of that term all the way back to the book of Acts. And I will now read the entire text instead of just the last part of it. We read, "And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." Well, by reading the entire verse in which this statement is found, we are immediately pulled into the context and pulled into the situation that brought about this new term called Christian. And yet, even in reading that verse, we aren't given enough of the context to understand it as well as we would like. And that's the reason why we're going to give attention to this on the Beacon Broadcast today. Thank you for joining me on this Wednesday, December 27. Many thanks for remembering that we depend upon your gifts to continue teaching God's Word on this station. And would you consider a year-end gift for the Beacon Broadcast? Well, let's work through the text. First of all, let's give attention to the city, the location where the disciples were called Christians first. Again, the last part of verse 26, "And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." The city, the place, the location where this name had its origin. Antioch turns out to be the third largest city of the Roman Empire. That's pretty significant. The largest, of course, was Rome. In Italy, that was the first. The second largest was Alexandria in Egypt. That was a city of great significance in this time period that we're talking about, in the first century the first century after Christ. But the third largest was Antioch in Syria, located about 300 miles north of Jerusalem and 16 miles inland from the Mediterranean Sea. I am told that it was a beautiful city, a wealthy city, situated in a beautiful valley. That tells us a great many things about it. But it was metropolitan, it was cosmopolitan, it was licentious. a large city in that day. Think of New York City. Think of Washington, D.C. Think of London. Think of San Francisco. Think of the largest cities in the world, and you get some idea of what we're talking about here. Obviously, large cities in that day were not identical to large cities in our day because a lot has changed as far as transportation and amenities and architecture and infrastructure. But as far as human nature, it hasn't changed in these 2,000 years. And when people congregate together in large cities, you have lots of opportunity for, well, for all kinds of things. You have opportunities for the creation of lots of wealth. You have opportunities for an increase in the arts and in the sciences, where people congregate together. You find a lot of this going on. But you also find a great deal of immorality, of lasciviousness, because, of course, the opportunity for it is greater in that setting than any place else. And that's the place, in that kind of setting, where the name Christian was first coined, first invented, if that's the right word, which I don't think it is. So that's what we know about the city. But what do we know about the congregation, the church that was there? Well, we have to go back in the text. But we learn that this church was begun by zealous lay witnessing, and this is a great encouragement indeed. Verse 19 of Acts 11. Now there were, scattered after the persecution, or rather now those were, let me back up again, now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Something happened in Antioch. It seems like some people broke out of the mold, so to speak. They broke out of the customary activity of the Christians of that day. These Christians came into this city, Antioch, Syria, 300 miles north of Jerusalem, because they were scattered by persecution. Those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen. You remember Stephen, one of the first seven deacons who also became the first Christian martyr. Stephen, who preached in the synagogues in Jerusalem with tremendous power, with amazing effect, so much so that he became the target of extreme animosity on the part of the Jews who were there. And they brought him before the Sanhedrin and accused him of blasphemy, which was not true. And by those trumped-up charges, they brought a verdict of guilty, and they carried out his execution by stoning. Read about it. Read his defense, his sermon in Acts chapter 7, which is a remarkable sermon indeed. And read the account there of how at one point he angered them so much that they lashed out against him, gnashed on him with their teeth, and they picked up stones and began to stone him. And Saul of Tarsus was part of that mob that stoned him. In fact, he guarded the coats of those who actually threw the stones. He was giving his full consent to what was going on. And that occasioned a wave of persecution in Jerusalem that drove many of the Christians out of the city. But what did they do? As they were scattered abroad, they went everywhere preaching the Lord Jesus. As we read, now those who were scattered about after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia. that would be along the Mediterranean coast, north of Israel. Cyprus, that would be the island off the coast as they traveled across by boat to the island of Cyprus. And Antioch, preaching the word, but here's the key, to no one but the Jews only. Why so? Well, we're not told why, but we would speculate that they might have thought that's what they were supposed to do, to preach the gospel to the Jews. They were Jews who had become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had a natural affinity for their own people, and they had a greater comfort with their own people. Those were the kind that they could relate to. They were the people that they were comfortable with socially, culturally, racially, and so they preached the gospel to them. It's possible, of course, that they thought that's what they were supposed to do because during an earlier stage in the life and ministry of Christ, he sent his apostles out and gave them instructions to preach to no one but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to Jews. And maybe they thought that's what they were supposed to do. Maybe they, like Paul, had some instructions to the extent that they were supposed to preach to the Jew first and also to the Greek, and maybe they just hadn't gotten around to the Greek part yet. I really don't know the full explanation of this, but the fact is that they were bold in witnessing, but they were restricted in witnessing. They were preaching the gospel to Jews only, but we read in verse 20, some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, Cyprus, the island that we just read about that some of them went to, who when they had come to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, that is, the Greeks, the Gentiles, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. They broke out of the mold. They dared to preach the gospel to those who were not Jews only. They were Greeks. They were Gentiles. They preached the same gospel to them that had been preached to them, the men who were preaching. They preached the same gospel to them that was preached to the Jews that were evangelized along the way. They preached that same message to Gentiles, and lo and behold, probably to their surprise, there were a great many who believed and turned to the Lord and became followers of Jesus Christ. And that created something of a stir, something of a crisis. We read on. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. There's something going on here. There is an amazing ingathering of souls from Gentile background, not just Jews who were prepared to look for the coming of their promised Messiah, but Gentiles who were hearing the gospel and believing it. And we'll have to take it up at this point, Lord willing, tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.